The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every which way you can take us in. But you're only required to take us in one way. You're not even required. We appreciate that you do choose one of those ways. It's a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. The majestic downtown Las Vegas.
That's right. Drew got his awards in. I'm kind of shocked at how these have trickled in and who I'm still waiting on. JVT, Zach Cohen, wink, wink.
Who was the first person to submit was?
Jason Weingarten.
That's the upset of the week.
I would have made him 80-1 to be the first one. And on top of that, I think what I'm more surprised about, Gil, emailed it to me.
Really?
I gave everybody the option, text or email.
He emailed. Wow, he takes it seriously. I like it. By the way, a failure of mine to get bets out of Drew, but I felt like I tried two or three times to elicit his wagers on Super Wild Card Weekend, even going as far afterwards to be like, so no sides? And it turns out off air, and we'll have these in the G-Bank recap at the end of the show.
I got to get everything together.
But he does have other bets.
I don't know if I remember actually.
Did I not ask two or three times?
We love Drew, but he's very detailed with his bets. Detailed. Okay, that Ravens under took a little while
to get through. I didn't do my job. I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming me.
Drew's got three NBA bets tonight, and he has bets on two sides for the NFL games and totals in five games.
Was he saving that for the third segment?
I don't know. We'll get it all in G-Bank. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm still putting it all together here. Quick shout out. We had the Circa Millions coming to an end. I didn't know I really knew anybody that was still alive in this. Yeah. Shout out to Brett and Rick, who I know regularly listen to the show or watch the show. Brett always texts me down. Is from South Florida. T7, $175K to those fellas.
T7, baby.
Messenger 69.
Way to go, guys.
I don't know what the 69 is relevant for, Gil, but you know. Messenger 69. Mm. 1 through 68 must have been taken, right?
No comment.
Oh, man.
Square root of 69 is a sign.
60, 26, and 4. That's all it took, Gil.
But there it is, by the way. Circa Millions. First team BP1. 60, 26, and 4 for a cool million. 60, 26, and 4 in a year that most bettors thought was very difficult in the NFL. So that's awesome.
That's incredible.
That's because that's not, you know, usually the number is higher than that. The record is greater than that in a millions contest. But this was a really hard year. We found that on the Megapod as well. Last year, I destroyed, right? Like coast to coast. This year, Todd beats me. And the record is, I'm impressed that we even got to where we got this year. Because it was a lot more difficult. So congratulations to Team BP1. And congratulations to our guys for knocking down 75 large.
Yeah,
at T7.
That's awesome. I think when you look at these results, though, Gil, like this is, we're all keep coming back and saying the same thing every year. I will be in Circa Millions every year that it exists, as long as one thing remains. Keep the quarters, because you have to have the run of your lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
60, 26, and 4. Come on. And this is every year in this contest.
Come on.
It's absurd. It is absurd for you to expect yourself to hit that high of a rate in the NFL. Now, can you do it for 4 weeks? Yeah, you could do it for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I trust I can do it for 4 weeks. I can't do it for a whole season.
J-Rod, one of my buddies and a big Eagles Fiatek fan and obviously a listener to not only us but the whole network, he asked Stefania Bell from ESPN, injury expert, yesterday and tagged both of us in this.
I chuckled at that. I love that he tagged us. She responded.
She responded, and he asked, he was like, hey, Shefty, I love that he referred to Adam Schefter as Shefty. He says, Shefty said Jalen Hurts is still in the protocol. Is there enough time to clear it by game time? I wasn't sure. And Stefania Bell hollered back. she said, yes, remember, it's criterion dependent, not time dependent, but there are multiple opportunities for him to show progression, meaning through the concussion protocol. So Stefania Bell does not seem very worried about Jalen Hurts' status heading in to the Eagles' Super Wild Card weekend game against the Packers. Perhaps Jordan Love is more at risk. I don't know. I mean, that whole game, you know, is completely in flux with that.
I mean, I'm in pretty heavy on the Eagles, tied them in money line parlays, so I'm sure expecting Hurts to be out there, but as we detailed yesterday, I mean, there are steps he has to work through this week, and we don't know where he's at, technically.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't. It's a very strange thing. But anyway, that's the word from Stefania Bell. She doesn't seem worried. And that's the thing about the concussion protocols. We actually don't even get how many opportunities they have to clear this between now and game time. So it seems like they can clear it at any given moment whenever they want.
You just got to know he's back at practice. That's a good sign.
Okay. We are going to talk to Will Hill here momentarily. We're going to talk to Mike Somich. I was going to say Mike Samobom there, but that's not his real last name.
Yeah, he just sent us some Samo bombs for the day.
Oh, he did. Okay, we'll get to that. And we'll get to a little look at the NFL draft number one pick odds, where, again, perhaps it will surprise you who the favorite is. Super Bowl exactas. Now, I have bet two Super Bowl matchups. Todd Wright was just talking about this, or we were talking a little bit with him. Todd Wright was talking about, you know, I asked him who he thought would be in the Super Bowl, and he said who he thought would not be the Super Bowl winner. You can bet Super Bowl matchups. You can bet Super Bowl exactas. Chrissy Andrews, by the way, my mishpucha, I think was the first person to apply horse racing exactas to sports betting. And he's very humble about that. He doesn't really like take credit, but he was the first person to ever do that.
That's incredible. Yeah, I know you've brought that up before. It is a cool thing to say you did first.
Which is, you know, again, we take it for granted, much like we take season win totals for granted, right? But that started one day in 1989 when a guy with a cowboy hat came in and asked Jimmy Vaccaro, hey, could you make how many games do you think the Cowboys are going to win this year? By the way, that was the year they went 1-15. Jimmy made it 5.5. Before that day, there was never season win totals.
It is very cool. Like, incredible. I mean, even when PASPA got taken down and we had, you know, like DraftKings, how many shows have we done where we're like, this market's crazy, but this is going to be fun to talk about, right? Well, like, it's incredible. But like back in the day, like just to come up with stuff like this, you never had to. Like, there was no reason that you needed to, but it was great for those guys to add those.
You
things.
Saw it in real time with me on Primetime Action when finally books started putting up adjusted season win totals in the middle of the year. I went crazy because I'm like, this is what I used to have to do off the grid.
I mean, still to this day, it is the single most thing of what our 4.5 years together of working together now, Gil. Nothing I have seen make Gil happier from a betting perspective than when those started.
Because we used to do this in dark corners of offices, you know? All right, so Super Bowl exacts. Super Bowl matchups is just who's going to play who. You don't have to bet on who's going to win. Super Bowl exactas are actual outcome, right? Who's going to beat who in the Super Bowl? So no surprise at the top here. So these odds are going to be longer than the matchups. Lions to beat Chiefs plus 950. Chiefs to beat Lions plus 950. Either way you want that, plus 950. Now, if you were to get the matchup of that, I think it's probably like plus 350. I think it's like, you know, a third of that. Lions to beat Ravens, 15-1. Lions to beat Bills, 16-1. So three of the shortest four are Lions to beat the three top AFC contenders. Bills to beat Lions, 16-1. Ravens to beat Lions, 17-1. You see that all six at the top involve the Lions, win or lose, against the three top AFC contenders. That's what you got. And then it gets, you know, then it goes to sort of the outlying ones, beginning with the Eagles to beat the Chiefs and the Chiefs to beat the Eagles, and you see the rest. Is there first of all, let's just start without these specifics.
Yeah.
Would you rather bet an exacta or a matchup? Because the only things I have in pocket are two matchups from before, which are Lions-Ravens and Lions-Chiefs.
I think that question, or the answer to that question, changes from sport to sport and year to year, right? Because if there is one team that you feel heavier, you know, way more confident about, and you also think they're going to be a bigger favorite by the time you get there, then I think you play the exactest. But I think the matchups most of the time are going to apply. I also think you got to look at some of the odds, right? Like, why are Lions Bills both matchups 16-1, but the Lions Ravens 15-1 for the Lions to win at 17-1 for the Ravens?
Right.
You know, like, so that's, I think you always just got to, like we talk about all the time, shop around within the same shop sometimes, right? This is, sometimes you just got to look at stuff like that.
As I asked that question, I feel like the match, and I wanted to say maybe it's also the time at which you bet them, but I feel like for me, the matchups is always the way to go. Because first of all, there's the human emotion thing of, I would hate to get that far and then get beat in the final game, right?
Right.
That it just didn't go the one way I had it. Like, I was good enough to get the two teams there, but then it didn't go that way.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, is like, if I have those two, right? Lions against both the Chiefs and the Ravens. What if the other team that I brought up is the Rams are the team that keeps in my brain? If I want to do a Rams Chiefs or a Rams Ravens, the matchups are like 35-1 and 65-1. Why would I go for the actual outcome of that game?
Even though it's longer. So the longer shot ones, I agree with. Yes. I would just bet the matchup.
Yeah. So that's what I'm still thinking. But if you had to bet an exacta, what would you bet? Since we have those up.
This is such a boring answer.
I know, right?
Lions, Bills.
Lions to beat the Bills?
Sure. I'm gonna go Bills over Lions. I wanted to point out those odds because I think it's important to think, okay, what does this game line look like if these actually set up, right? I think if you're talking about if the Ravens or Bills make a push to the Super Bowl, I mean, they're probably favorites over the Lions at that point. Like, then you've beaten, if you're the Bills, you've beaten the Ravens and then the Chiefs.
I don't think we know that, though, right?
We don't know that. You're right. I'm just saying, if I got to pick between 116-1, I'm going with the one where the Bills win it. Because then I could always hedge off a little bit with the Lions if I expect them to be the dog.
Yeah, I see. I think with the matchups, I would go for the longer shots. And I think, actually, if I had to bet an exacta, I would actually take a Lions Chiefs. I'd be really boring on the exacta. Maybe
this is where I've turned, though. Last week, and like, yes, this is I'm probably getting overwhelmed a little bit by what happened on Sunday night too much. But we said I think any team in the NFC could win the NFC. I agree with that. I still agree with that, Gil. But I don't know. The Lions are still above everybody.
One thing to pontificate, but one thing when you actually have to place a bet. That's why my matchups are how I'm going. And the only thing I'm wondering about is, should I add a Rams matchup? Will Hill, all his bets, college and pro, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got over an hour on this show. We've buried the headline. Big news this week here at VSiN, in case you haven't heard. We are returning to SiriusXM. Pumped. Starting January 17th. So what's that? That's a week from Friday, right?
Yep.
VSiN's 24/7 programming will be available on SiriusXM channel 158. Go ahead and lock that in, and the SiriusXM app. In addition to the new channel, VSiN's going to produce a new show for SiriusXM, VSiN Live on Mad Dog Sports Radio, hosted by Patrick Maher and Dustin Sweetelson. It debuted last night from 7 to 10 Eastern on channel 82. That's VSiN Live on Mad Dog Radio every weeknight from 7 to 10 Eastern, and coming January 17th, just 10 days from now, VSiN channel 158 on SiriusXM. Looking forward to that. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Brian Morianen. Interesting coincidence. The last two men's Australian Open finals have been the 4 seed defeating the 3 seed. Checks rankings. Fritz is number 4. Yup, trends are not my friend. Yeah, I wouldn't do it based on that. Let's put it that way. Mike Alvarez. Just catching up on yesterday's show on my car ride this morning. Get ready for dynamic replays during this year's NFL playoffs. Yeah, they'll come up with something new and act like it was there the whole time. Richard Palma's cracking up. He says, quote, you familiar with his sister, unquote. Thanks for catching that. I'm glad somebody did. Xavier 82. Jacob, you got to love these Drew guest appearances with his grr and the Pelicans. Why did I bet them? Yuck, as part of his handicap. LOL. Get the money racing. He's quoting you. He says, I 1 through 68 must have been taken. Silence from Gil. I was too busy thinking of the square root of 69 as a sign. Stringfellow Hawk, Drew surprised himself with that Pelicans pick. Does he come to us from behind a cloud of smoke as well?
No, I'd be like, okay, look, I lead heavily that way as well. I didn't bet it last night on the opener. I was like, it's that bettor's mindset. I think especially in the NBA where you're like, God, this feels like a gross bet. And I'm like, Drew fired apparently. I was like, I'm going to wait and see if this number moves in my direction even more. And then there's the whole Zion possibly returning tonight, which I would not bet if Zion is playing. The usage rate at which Zion takes up, it's just a different team completely.
First, Dobing, and great to hear you back on SiriusXM. Bad side, now I have to read my car's manual to figure out how to create a favorite on the radio. Get to it!
Oh, that's a good call. I don't know how to do that on Sirius either.
And then BM, Gurgi, WTA, will there be an Australian Open pod? Yes. Tomorrow, after a numbers game, we are doing, I'm glad you asked, thank you for asking. After a numbers game, I'm doing a Twitter live megapod. The Super Wildcard Weekend Megapod at 12:30 Eastern, 9:30 Pacific, with Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and Cleve TA as our guest. Right after that, Drew Densick and I are going to do the first half of an Australian Open pod. That will be live on Twitter as well. starting at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Eastern, a.m. Pacific, pardon me. And then Friday after the draw, Zach Cohen and I at 12:30 Eastern, 9:30 a.m. Pacific will do the post-draw part of the Australian Open pod. We will smack those two Australian Open pods together, or those two halves, and make it into an actual audio podcast at the end of the week. Hope that makes sense. By the way, Jason Stark said, I think the Pelicans is because Zion may be back today.
No, I understand why you would think that, but I think Drew and I both said, no, we don't want him playing if we're betting on it. It's just a different version of the team. I wanted to pull up the J-Rod tweet again as we lead into Will Hill.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, it is Will Hill. You can follow him on Twitter at Not The Will Hill. Not only the star of the Megapod, also the star of his own podcast, Shoulda Bet More, and Fox Sports, Chris Felica's Bear Bets Empire, where in the upset of the week, he has dodged all scandal. Will Hill, everybody on the show. How you doing, man?
Gilly, Kelly, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Ooh, what about this J-Rod question?
Yeah, I want to know what Will's fair price is on Iga.
You have a tennis bet. You have a tennis fair price on Iga to win the women's? That's from J-Rod.
I left my tennis numbers are downstairs. I can go get them, but we only have 6 minutes left.
It's just curious. Just curious where your model spit out.
I bet what you tell me to bet, and that's about. Look, I watch it, I enjoy it, but I don't know. That's not something I originate, to use that term.
J-Rod didn't ask me. I was like 20 cents off from what Drew had, so you know, it's just not enough to bet. You know?
Let's start with college football, shall we? What are your plays on the two semis?
I know it's come down, but I still like Penn State, Notre Dame under. I think the current number is 44.5. I'm okay with that. I think it's like a 23-20, maybe 24-17 type of game. I think I bet all four unders on all four of these two teams' playoff games, and they've all gotten home. I gave out Penn State Boise under last week. That was a pretty comfortable under, even though, you know, Boise left some points on the board. I just think these teams are very similar. Both are kind of plotting offenses, not a lot of explosiveness. I don't think either receiving group is great. Either receiving group, you know, really is going to make big plays or get open, especially against the opposing defense. And I don't love either team's, you know, quarterback passing game. I lean towards Penn State just because I think Aller to Warren is better than anything Notre Dame has. And there is a little smoke and mirrors in terms of Notre Dame. Like, all right, they had the 98-yard run against Indiana, kind of quieted down after that. And we know what happened against Georgia, where they didn't, you know, come up with too many points on offense and 4 yards per play, maybe a little bit under. So to me, grind it out type of game, Big Ten type of game. It's weird to say out loud, to read on paper, that if Penn State wins, they will play in their first ever national title game, because, you know, all of us of a certain age remember Penn State being sort of the gold standard of, like, yeah, Penn State, they were, you know, the modern day Alabama or Georgia, you know, 80s, 90s, things like that, where it's, man, this was the team for a while. But I think Penn State wins a close game, low scoring game. I like the under more than anything. I lean towards Penn State. I'm starting to wonder. I was shocked if we're going to get a three here. I'd be very surprised if that lasted, but it's heading that way. And I know Circa opened this number at 50. So I'm surprised at that number. That just, man, that seems like a bad number. Last thing too, I wouldn't discount the fact that Penn State has 2 days extra rest. Notre Dame played 2 days later and played a very physical Georgia team. Meanwhile, Penn State got to play New Year's Eve, got a couple days extra rest. And look, Boise State's not as physical as Georgia. So the rest, the physicality of the previous games favors Penn State. So I'll say Penn State wins a close game here, low scoring.
Were you saying, when you were saying that people are saying Penn State never played in a national championship before, they're talking about modern college football history, obviously, with new formats and that kind of thing? Not back in the day when we were kids, when they just voted on such things?
Right. Yeah. Like, that was never, there were bowl games, but that wasn't right. A national title game. Like, this is a national title game. So yeah, it is a little bit of a technicality, but it is, you know, technically true.
Well, I guess it is technically, but we all remember that upset against Miami. We remember Sugar Bowl. I remember them winning the national championship as well there.
Claimed national titles too. 82 and 86.
claimed. That's what they say now. Claimed. Yeah.
It is wild to think that was ever how sports were decided.
Isn't that incredible?
Vote on stuff. It's insane.
I mean, it was like there were so many of those. Like, if you go way, way back, like 1978, USC and Alabama was like this big question thing, and they gave it to Alabama, and everyone at USC is like, what do you mean? We don't win. it was just that arbitrary. Okay. And so nothing on the other game, just really focused on Notre Dame, Penn State?
I like Ohio State. I think if you're going based on season-long numbers, that number is too big. But if you're going based on the past couple of weeks where Ohio State's basically looked like, you know, an NFL team, that number is too short. I go with it's too short. I think Ohio State winning this game by 7-10-plus points is certainly reasonable. It seems like they've changed their philosophy in terms of like, hey, we're not going to try to fit a square peg into a round hole and try and run the ball. We'll spread it out with our ridiculously good receiver and throw him the ball a bunch of times and just, you know, score 30-plus points. I actually like Ohio State team total maybe over – more than anything, I think it's 29.5, 30.5. Again, you can kind of pick your juice and pick your number with these books, with these team totals. I think 29.5, 30.5 is around like the fairest till minus 110. I think they score like 34, 37 points, something like that. I just think Texas, I don't love Ewers. I think Ohio State's good enough defensively to like put him in third and long, maybe force some mistakes. And look, six is, it's a lot compared to what it was going to be a week or two ago, but it's still only six. I think Ohio State, look, they're going to win the championship. I'd be shocked if we're not sitting here in, you know, 10 days, a couple of weeks, and they're not holding up the trophy. I think they are clearly the best team in the country.
Notre Dame and Penn State Thursday, by the way. Ohio State, Texas on Friday. I believe we had it wrong on the screen. Super wild card weekend, sir. Your favorite bet is...
Ooh, favorite bet, I would say the Bills just are going to bury the Broncos. I think we see these a lot in the wild card, especially now with the, you know, the last 4 or 5 years where the extra team makes the playoffs and kind of doesn't belong. Hey, they had a good year. Don't take it away from them. But I know Green Bay won as a 7 last year, but they were the only 7 to do so. And the other 7s have gotten buried. And I just think a rookie quarterback who is still a great season, completely overachieved, all of those caveats. There's still some limitations, I think, with their passing offense, especially when they get behind. You've made the point, hey, they're very predictable. If they get ahead, they can play their game. If they get behind, they're not playing catch up very well. And a rookie quarterback going into Buffalo, you know, Buffalo's going to score their 28, 30 points against pretty much anyone. Can Bo Nix keep up, or is this one going to get away? And is this going to be one of our wild card weekend duds, which usually there are. I mean, this is one in the playoffs where you do get some mismatches, especially here in the 2-7. So I think Buffalo rolls pretty good. I think it's a really bad spot for Minnesota. Just coming off that loss, a chance to be the one, plenty of chances. Rams beat them already. If they don't get pressure on Stafford, I know Nacua had a really good game against them right around, it was the day before the World Series started back in October, and it was very similar where the Vikings lost to the Lions then had to turn around and play the Rams. It's the same scenario here. I do like the Rams, but I am using them more in teasers just because that 1, 1.5, I like to tease that up.
I have to, full disclosure, Will via text, he's a Vikings guy. And when the Vikings were busy getting beat by the Lions, he went and he spiraled into just pure negativity mode where he's like, O'Connell doesn't deserve coach of the year.
Oh, he does.
Darnold doesn't deserve this. You really nothing. Spiraled. Yeah.
They get nothing. You get nothing. What's that from Willy Wonka? You get nothing. Good day, sir.
Will Hill, everybody. Talk to you on the Megapod tomorrow, sir.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me.
Will Hill, everybody. And not the Will Hill. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Mike Somich. Somo bombing. Find out if he's as bullish on the Chiefs this year as he was last year. That's next. Numbers Game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In sports betting and trading, understanding probability is the ultimate game changer. Unlock the secrets of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horowitz, a former floor trader and seasoned sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit bubbatrading.com/VSiN today. Use promo code VSiN500 to save $500. Don't miss your chance to sharpen your strategy, gain the edge in your trading game. That's bubbatrading.com/VSiN, promo code VSiN500. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not often that we are graced with this gentleman's presence, but we're always thrilled to do segments with him. He was kind enough to join us at the D, remember, live in person.
Yes.
Last year.
One of the brave few.
One of the brave few. We get him courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line right now. It's Mike Somich, ladies and gentlemen, at SomoBomb18 on the Twitter machine. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good. I'm doing good. Excited the regular season's over. Looking forward to the playoffs here. Phenomenal football weekend. I mean, we got the college football playoffs Thursday and Friday night, roll right into the NFL playoffs. And we got hockey going, boys. Hockey is officially back here. And now that the NFL is rolling down, we got more time to focus on it. So excited to get into some pucks as well.
Ready, set, bet will be all over the football this weekend, I assume.
Oh, yeah. We will be talking a lot of football. I will try and sneak some hockey in, too. Matt doesn't always allow me to, but we'll be on 4 to 7 Pacific, 7 to 10 Eastern on Saturday, live betting that late Saturday game, talking about the Sunday games. And then Sunday night, we'll be on from 5 to 8 Pacific, 8 to 11 Eastern. And we'll be talking about the future lines, which are already up on some books, by the way. You can already bet mythical division matchups over on DraftKings and a couple other books as well.
okay, let's start there. Let's get the hockey out of the way. You have any plays tonight in hockey?
I do. Favorite play tonight, we're going to go to the Winnipeg Jets. I'm going to lay the goal and a half. Right now you can get that at plus 160. This is a game which opened minus 140 for Winnipeg, plus 130 or plus 130 or 120 for Nashville, and it has been steamed out to the Jets. I agree with it. I actually made the fair right around minus 170 for Winnipeg here. They've lost three games in a row. Three back it was to Colorado. The last two were at home to Anaheim and Detroit. Not very good hockey teams. But if you look at moneypuck.com, which gives you essentially analytical projections of the expected goals and the expected win percentage, they were expected to win both those games by 70% or higher. Simply put, their goalie let them down. Hellebuyck does not usually let the Winnipeg Jets down. Currently 14-4 at home. They're taking on the Preds, who are 5-13 on the road. So I laid the goal and a half with the Predators here at minus one and a half, plus 160. If you don't want to play as risky of a move, you can get Jets in regulation. That's minus 105 right now. I like both of those quite a bit.
Okay, you said you laid it with the Predators. Is that what you meant to say?
Or
you...
No, I laid it with the Jets.
Okay,
-1.5 with the Jets, plus 160.
Gotcha. That's the only hockey play today, yes?
One more. Let's throw the Penguins on there, too. I want to play against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They are 4-17 on the road. Penguins have been playing pretty good hockey as of late, and they're coming back from a three-game road trip to play their first at home as well. Laid the goal and a half with the Penguins as well. That's plus 160 on the Penguins, -1.5 against the Blue Jackets.
And you alluded to hockey futures being out there. Did you make any bets yet?
I don't have anything big in the hockey futures market. I felt like I missed the boat with the Oilers. They fired their coach midseason, and we've seen them really progress and turn around. Feel like they are the best team in the Western Conference right now. The Eastern Conference still trying to sort it out. A team like the Rangers, I don't think is a bad team to look at. They're an absolute mess right now, but sometimes that's the best place you can get value. And with hockey, you just got to get in the tournament and anything can happen. They've got good goaltending. They've got offensive force, and you'd expect them to make some deadline moves. So I'm kind of eyeing that Rangers price, but haven't put anything to the account yet.
Okay, let's go to the National Football League. Before we get to the pre-flop bets that you've made, it's not often during this time slot that we get things released and in real time we can react to them. But we had some props released for all of these Super Wild Card weekend games. And you have actually, I don't know if you've pressed the submit button yet, but you're about to if you haven't. Let's go to the Commanders and the Buccaneers. You like a couple here.
I do. I think this is going to be one of the higher scoring games of the weekend. I was really hoping they would give us a 48 total and I could pop the over. Unfortunately, it opened up at 50.5, which I think is the correct total. But I do think that the props are a little bit low on a couple guys that just recently got released. First one, Jalen McMillan, who is the number two wide receiver for this Buccaneers team. He's gone over 50 yards in five straight games now. The prop got released at 48.5. It's a very gettable Washington secondary. They're going to roll over double coverage on Mike Evans, and that's going to set up opportunities for Jalen McMillan. So I like him quite a bit over the 48.5 receiving yards. The other prop that I want to look at here is Jaden Daniels rushing yards prop. Right now sitting at 46.5. Let's take the over there as well. He had gone over three straight games before week 18. Week 18, he only plays one half. But however, if he had played the full game, he was on pace to go over against that Cowboys defense. What I think really jumps out in watching the Commanders the last few weeks is that they need Daniels to run the football to be able to effectively and consistently move the football. I expect he's going to be running, especially in such a high leverage game here since it's a road playoff game. So I'll take Daniels over the 46.5 rushing yards as well.
All right. That's the Sunday night primetime game between the Commodores and the Buccaneers. You like a prop in the Bills Broncos game as well.
I do. I was trying to find a way to bet this game again, opened at 8.5, got blasted out to 10. So kind of got out of teaser range there. But when the props hit and you can see Bo Nix sitting there at over 220.5 passing yards, that kind of caught my eye here. When you've got a spread that this big, you're expecting you're going to be in chase mode from a Broncos standpoint. This is a secondary for the Bills that's still not an elite secondary. The pass rush, not phenomenal. And this is a very good offensive line from the Broncos standpoint. So I think they can protect Bo Nix. I think the Bills win this game, but I think Bo Nix has to throw the football, especially in the second half. So let's go over 220.5 passing yards here for Bo Nix, who's going to be in chase mode late.
I like it. Insta reactions to props just released on the Super Wild Card weekend games. All right, let's get to your pre-flop bets in these games, beginning with the Eagles and the Packers. You bet this one larger than anything.
I did. I backed the Brinks truck up right when the line opened. It opened at Philadelphia -3.5. And I just vehemently disagree with what this line came out at. If you go back and you rewind all the way to San Paulo there in Brazil, opening game of the season, these two teams met and the Eagles were -1.5 in that game on a neutral. So right away, you'd say it's -3 at home. Well, I look at my rankings from the beginning of the season and I've upgraded the Eagles almost 3.5 points. I've upgraded the Packers about a half point, which makes this line 6.5 for me. So I am heavily on the Eagles side here. Even at the 4.5, I still think it's worth a bet to play the Eagles. This Packers team, I think, is just overrated by the market. And I think you can see that over the last 3 or 4 weeks where they were a short dog to Minnesota. They're not a team that I believe as much as the market does. I've seen them rated as high as 3 or 4 in the past couple weeks. And I think they're more around that 7-8 type range currently, especially with the injuries we're going to have. Christian Watson announced out for the season, and we're not sure what we're going to get from Love. To me, this is an easy play on the Eagles here. I'd actually play it up to -5.5. So I would still play the Eagles here at -4.5. But this was my biggest bet of the weekend at Eagles -3.5.
Dare we call it a Samo bomb?
You could dare.
No, nothing. We don't have the Samo bomb thing, right?
That's only a D graphic there.
Yeah, for sure. It is.
I would say this about the Packers, that I think of all 14 playoff teams, they're the one to me that has the most, the widest range of outcomes in any performance. Would you agree with that? Or at least I'm in the ballpark with that? Because I don't know what I would expect from them. They could be awesome. They could suck. I don't think I'd be surprised by either.
I think that's pretty fair. I would say that the Packers and the Buccaneers are the two teams that I feel that way about, where you have all these explosive pieces on the offense for the Buccaneers, similar to what you've got on the Packers. And to me, there's questions on both of those defenses. It feels like you're paying the price of the Packers last year in the playoffs and what we saw with them having this dynamic offense, be able to move the football up and down the field with an expectation the defense is going to be better. I'm not really sure why we expect this defense to be better after everything that we saw throughout this season. And this offense just hasn't been nearly as explosive, and they're banged up in the wide receiving core. One of their big edges is, hey, we've got 4 wide receivers who could all be, we'll call them 1Bs, 2As, somewhere in that range. And we got Kraft. So we've got all of these different pieces plus Jacobs. Well, all those pieces aren't healthy. And Jordan Love hasn't been as good as Jordan Love was down the stretch there. Now he's banged up. I agree with you. The upside for this Packers team's high. I think that's why they are rated so highly. But the problem is they just haven't been able to achieve that ceiling very often this season. And I think it's true. Kind of ridiculous to assume they will this time.
Let's go to the first game chronologically of the Super Wild Card weekend games. The Chargers and the Texans in their favorite spot there to begin Wild Card weekend. 8 out of 8 appearances in the early Saturday window. TJ Yates is not walking through that door for the Texans. You like a side and a total here.
I do. I have a small bet, put a small bet on Chargers -2.5, -110 when it originally was released. We're sitting at, you know, there's some -2.5, -120, -125 out there in the market. I would wait. Look, I understand why this is currently sitting where it is at that 2.5-3 number. If you look ahead, the Chiefs would be a 4.5-point favorite over the Chargers. They'd be a 7-point favorite over the Texans. So that tells you that the market's saying 3.5 on a neutral, which means it should probably be 2.5. However, I want to bet against this Texans team. It's Nico Collins and nothing else on the offensive side. I'm not scared of Joe Mixon. I don't think he's one of those backs that can create big plays. And I want to bet against Slowick in the playoffs here, who's the offensive coordinator for the Texans. It's run, and then try and convert third and long for CJ Stroud. That's a very difficult thing to do, especially in the playoffs. Also like the under here, 42.5. This one's readily available right now, so I would play the under as well. I think both these defenses match up very well against the offenses.
All right. Chargers side under in the game. Chargers side a little smaller than the others, you said, bet-wise?
That's the smallest bet I have out there. Okay. I just want to bet against this Texans team. And when I saw the -2.5, I felt like, you know, you get Chargers, they don't have to win by margin. I'll take a piece.
All right. Mike Somich, everybody, at SamoBomb18 again, co-host of Ready, Set, Bet with our buddy Matt Brown. Thank you, Mike. Great seeing you, man. Mike Somich, out of there already. He's got to bet some horses. He's like, I'm out. Coming back. Wrapping things up next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up, top of the show after a numbers game, Money Moves. Stormy on assignment. Stormy was doing the FCS title game last night between North Dakota State and Montana State. Good game. North Dakota State won by 3. She got the North Dakota State coach to cry at the end of the game.
I was just rooting for Felica. It was his birthday and he couldn't get a win.
Yeah, he couldn't get it done. Jonathan Von Tobel and Jeff Schwartz in once again to host Money Moves. Looking forward to that. Top of the hour from 12 to 2 Eastern. Then Prop Points with John Hansen from 2 to 3. And then Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4. That's what's coming up next on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Which brings us to our G-Bank Best Bets of the Day. Courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. You ready to do this? We got a lot.
We do have a lot.
This might take 3 segments.
they believe we're ready.
Not because of me, though. Because I have the Rams plus 3 this weekend against the Vikings. Let's go. Let's get it done. And I'm contemplating whether or not to do these Rams matchups, as I have the Lions matchups with both the Ravens and the Chiefs, contemplating whether or not to do the Rams ones as well.
Yeah, you got the Lions covered. So, yeah, it's just if you want to play off the Rams.
Yeah, yeah.
Kelly's got a lot. He's got the Lakers. Well, why don't you go ahead and
yeah, Lakers 4.5. That number's long gone now. I would not play it current number. It is out to 7, I believe. 6.5, 7 Lakers visiting the Mavericks tonight. Mavericks shorthanded. No Kyrie, no Luka Doncic in there for them. Lakers, I had a feeling this number was going to run, so I bet it last night. But betting the Lakers that early, Gil, never a safe bet when you've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis probable, quote unquote. Hawks, I did lay the 6.5 as Hawks. Well with them going to Utah. Utah coming off 2 good wins in Florida over Miami and Orlando, but they are shorthanded as well. No Jordan Clarkson for them. Lowry Markkanen questionable tonight. John Collins will be out as well. Atlanta, they've had a few bad losses in a row here against some good teams, though I think we're overreacting a little bit too. So that in the NBA tonight, and then to review what I've got in the NFL so far, Chargers, Texans under, Bills laid the 7.5 on the opener, and then I have a Bills-Eagles money line parlay, and then a Ravens-Eagles money line parlay. Chalky, chalky
yeah.
for me.
And if I have anything in Adelaide, in tennis, it'll be on the VSiN Pro Picks page at VSiN.com/picks. But I will tell you, I should have done what Drew did and stay off it because it's not going great in Adelaide. Drew had a bunch. He's on the Warriors. He made an angry Warriors bet today, laying the points after the Heat went down last night. He's got the Pelicans plus the points. He's also on the Hawks, laying the 6.5. His NFL bets, which apparently I couldn't get out of him. I don't know what happened. Texans plus 3 versus the Chargers. He's on the Texans, taking the points. Laying the points with the Bills against the Broncos, though, laying the 9. And then he's on 2 unders. He did mention these. He's on the Steelers, Ravens under 44. He also is on the Packers, Eagles under 45.5.
Oh, he's on more than that, Gil, because we got a second page for Drew today.
Good God, what happened? What went wrong? Seriously. Commanders, Buccaneers under 50.5. Rams, Vikings under 46.5. It's an under train for Drew Dinsick on the show. Continue.
Good job by Brendan and Andre in the back. We had to go to a second page. We haven't had to do that yet.
Jeez. Will Hill, he's on the Penn State Notre Dame under 45. He is on Ohio State laying the points against Texas. Then he's on the Bills laying the points against the Broncos, and he's got a Bills-Rams teaser.
I like it.
Bills-Rams teaser. Bills down 2.5, Rams up to 7.5 in their game against the Vikings.
I am monitoring those line moves as well. I've got enough on the Bills. I'm comfortable with that. If the Ravens somehow get into teaser range, though, it will be a real Rams teaser, Rams-Ravens teaser for me for sure.
Mike Somich, Samo bombing with the Winnipeg Jets tonight, laying the goal and a half, plus 160, and the Penguins also laying the goal and a half, plus 160 in a couple NHL tilts tonight. He's on the Eagles. That's his biggest bet. He loves the Eagles minus the points against the Packers. He got it at 3.5. His smallest bet was the Chargers laying 2.5 against the Texans. He's also on the Chargers Texans under at 43. Those are your G-Bank best bets of the day, courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN, which we do on this show and on every show on the network daily. Don't forget, if you're serious about sports betting, you need the G-Bank Visa Signature Card. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances. Even when you put your own money on the card, G-Bank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're typically saving up to 3% to 5% on cash advance fees right there, right now. For a limited time, you'll receive a $250 bonus after you spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. $250! Apply now at Visa.com/GBank. That's Visa.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. Before we get to number one pick odds here, you see the Deshaun Watson news?
No, I did not.
It has nothing to do with sports betting, but I just thought this was interesting. Deshaun Watson has reportedly suffered what they're calling a setback in his Achilles recovery.
Oh, man.
Now, I don't know if you guys have heard this from me before. I don't know if I've mentioned this ever on the show before, but I've ruptured not one but two of these things. Has that ever come up on this show before? I'm not sure it has.
Never.
Not sure it is. Breaking news here. So here's the thing I just want to say about this. A setback on an Achilles recovery, to me, can only mean one thing.
What, re-ruptured?
That he re-ruptured it. That's back in the day, right? And I'm talking about the dark ages of the 1990s, when I ruptured my first. You were told to do nothing for 6 months mm-hmm. because there is a rate of re-rupture. The thinking in the medical community changed in those 2 decades since, three, whatever it is, where they're like, no, get out there, go crazy. And then you have the kooks like Aaron Rodgers, who had everybody believing last year, oh, I can come back this year because I got this alternative medicine. And you had hack doctors that we all know on Twitter who are so eager to curry favor with Rodgers that they're like, yeah, he can come back. No, he couldn't have. And so I wonder if Watson got a little too aggressive, re-ruptured it. If that's the case, he's probably going to miss training camp next year at a minimum. So add that to the whole Deshaun Watson ridiculousness.
I have like what do you do if you're the Browns? Like there are some of these franchises that
here's his
I mean the Jets and Browns. What are they doing the next couple years?
Here's his record with the Browns. 3-3 first year when he had the 11 game suspension. 5-1 the shoulder surgery year of 2023, and 1-6 he ruptured his Achilles against the Bengals week 7 this year.
So Achilles expert Gil Alexander, check my math on this. Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, all Achilles.
Yes, sir.
Achilles still matter, I think. none of them were all that great this year.
Well, in the case of Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, they're also just old. And I think that was it more than the Achilles.
I agree.
And they were, and neither was like, I mean, Cousins was always a statue. That never really was his game. And Rodgers, yeah, he was more mobile than he was this year. But he's also, turned 41. By the way, Watson, the Browns would have a $73 million dead cap hit in 2026 if they decided to part ways after this season.
As long as there's no dead cats.
That's right. We don't want that. $73 million dead cap hit in 2026.
So you have that situation. The Jets. Yeah. The one absolute obvious downside of what could have happened when you brought in Aaron Rodgers seems to be exactly playing out, right? If you had young talent on that team in Sauce Gardner, in the wide receiving core, and you've pissed off everybody, right? Like, all those guys are angry now. Like, what do you do? You're going to lose the young talent you had, and the old guys are getting too old.
It just goes to show, once again, it's the biggest truism in the NFL. You make one bad decision at quarterback, and I'm talking about with a monster contract, whether it's Daniel Jones, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, whether it's Deshaun Watson, it sets you back half a decade.
It's not a season. It's not two seasons. It's multiple years.
It's incredible. For all the good decisions and what that gets you, things still have to coalesce in a way to get you to a Super Bowl. But when you make a bad decision, good God, you're done for like 5 years. NFL draft number one, speaking of making those decisions. Mm-hmm. Not right now, but the Tennessee Titans are on the clock. They end up with a number one pick because the Giants decided to win a football game, and then the Patriots decided to win a football game, so it lands on the Titans. They, one would assume, are quarterback needy, because I think the Will Levis experiment is over, isn't it? Yes, maybe, no? I think so.
Yes, as a starter, yeah. I think so.
Cam Ward from the U, -125. Shadour, +105. And then Travis Hunter now has fallen back to 10-1 because, again, the top three teams, talking about the Titans, the Browns, and the Giants, are all quarterback needy. I still think the Giants get the booby prize at 3 because if you think that there's only two good quarterbacks, and by the way, I don't know if any of these guys are any good.
Right, yeah, you don't want to have the third pick.
But you don't want to have the third pick. So the Giants really did themselves in with this. But I don't know. Would you make a bet on either of these guys?
I am fascinated by Ward being shorter than Sanders. I just feel like from everything we've heard for the past couple years this season, I know Cam Ward's been awesome this year, but man, plus money on Shadour. I just don't know how long we're going to see that. This feels like this could easily be -300 and, you know, 3 weeks from now or a month from now.
Yeah, I mean, I
I'm not going to bet it. I mean,
the consensus opinion is, and no one knows for sure, right? Because, you know, projecting quarterback play is the most inexact science there is. But the consensus is that neither Ward or Sanders are as good as the crop that just came out.
Right. And then what? You had some part of this odds move is because of reports linking Ward with the Titans, right? But yep. But think about when those reports came out. They probably came out before the Titans had the number one pick.
Plenty of time to do your information-based handicapping coming up. Money Moves, JVT and Jeff Schwartz next. Enjoy.